This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Week 3 of the NFL preseason is upon us, which means that for one half of the preseason, we will have meaningful football. Unless you got a couple starting wide receivers that are going to be out of the game due to injury concerns or lack thereof, maybe just keeping them fresh for the season opener against the Buffalo Bills, but I digress. You're going to have Joseph Vincent Flacco for the first time in what seems like almost a year stepping back onto an NFL football field in not an actual game since it's exhibition, but a game nonetheless.
And people making a big deal about it, though, because, yeah, as you said, it hasn't been a year since we've seen Joe Flacco, who had the same stats last year as he did his rookie year. It was almost exactly down to the number in terms of yardage, and yet, despite the fact how his poor play was, he was well on pace and encompassing 4,000 yards for the first time ever in his career. He sniffed it. 3,982 yards one year, 3,917 yards another year. He just couldn't get those extra little yards just to put himself over that 4,000-yard echelon to make himself more, well, they'd still question if he was an elite quarterback or a mediocre quarterback. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is rated higher than he is in Madden right now. It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. I mean, what was the overall rating of the team?
77 overall.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what a 5-11 record does right there. It lowers your entire... What's the opposite of elevate? De-elevate, is that the word I'm looking for there?
Instead of ascend, you descend.
Descend,
yes. Let's go with that one.
Your whole team descends in terms of play, in terms of attributes. I mean, Steve Smith Sr. is rated an 89, and he was an 89 last year, was injured, but I guess the Madden creators took mercy on him as opposed to, say, Dez Bryant, who took a big hit in attributes. He's actually mad about that.
Yeah, Dez dropped it.
Yeah, Dez.
Everybody would think Dez dropped it. But going back to the Ravens themselves, yeah, 5-11, all of a sudden, a guy who had never had a losing season in his career, neither Joe Flacco or John Harbaugh, now all of a sudden both are kind of on the hot seat right now because of, you know, their records. John Harbaugh had a 8-8 season prior to that, right?
Back in 2013, he had an 8-8.
Okay, 2013, they had an 8-8 season, and 2014...
This is their first losing year.
First ever losing season they've ever had, because it was 2013 was the first time they didn't make the playoffs.
Yes. So, we're now going to be going into the Week 3 matchup with the Baltimore Ravens as they prepare to put Joe Flacco on the field and prepare to start him against the Detroit Lions, which will be a home game. So Joe's not necessarily going to be in uncomfortable surroundings. He will be I guess you can't call it mostly comfortable since there are a portion of Baltimore Ravens fans or Baltimore sports fans that have a less than positive opinion about Joseph Vincent Flacco.
But you can say it's more comfortable because they changed the turf at M&T.
Well, that too. Yeah, so that will definitely help his footing a little bit. Probably will be better on his knees, too. But I will say this. For this Week 3 game, what would you say the first half expectations of Joe Flacco are in terms of a good possibility and in terms of a bad possibility?
Good possibility, he still has a deep ball.
Still has a deep ball? Does he connect on a deep ball?
I would say so.
Now, would you say that he does well with his tight ends, for example? Because, look, you're not going to see Dennis Pitta out there because of a broken finger. We'll get to him shortly. But, of course, you'll see Joe probably connecting with Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore, and, of course, the 2015 offseason pickup there of Ben Watson. Or 2016, I should say. Well, 2015, they...
Yeah, 2015 was last year.
Yeah, 2015 was last year. 2016.
So you're in 2016 now, Josh. Yeah. You know, it's hard to believe. Yes, we are 16 years into the new millennium, into the new decade, into the new century. It's seemed like it was just yesterday. We were just celebrating, partying like it was 1999, and now Prince is dead. So
yeah,
we're going on to more and more terms. We're seeing guys that we thought were in the league so many years ago of being beasts, now free agents. Trent Richardson, free agent, cut, he's gone.
And by the way, just a terrible hairline on the Madden 17 game right there.
I mean, we're talking about it because right now I currently have it up on our big screen here in the studio, and I was letting him just look at all the ratings in this game and how everybody has just dropped off the table, and you just seem like people are... You think it's like an old crotchety thing where people are just saying to themselves, well, the NFL is not as good today as it was back in my day. Well, you kind of got a little bit of representation right then and there because it's not as good as what it was 16 years ago.
No,
because you had all kinds of perennial key players back then, like Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. Did I just name a bunch of Rams?
Yes, you did. And not to mention, the fact that we're even talking mostly about a Madden game goes to show you how irrelevant the preseason has been for the entirety of the NFL season, or at least the preseason of the NFL season leading to the regular season. See, I'm getting so tired of the preseason already. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm waiting for the NFL regular season to start.
Yeah, I'm well over preseason. Every time, and going back to the Maddenisms again, we always skip it and we turn injuries off.
You know what I hate about NFL preseason? People draft their fantasy teams during NFL preseason.
Well, yeah.
Well, what's the point? What happens if one of your guys gets hurt?
Well, that's just something you're going to have to live with. What happens if you have the first overall pick in the draft and you pick Adrian Peterson, and then in week one he decides he wants to whip his kid with a switch and cause a national outcry, and he's out for the rest of the season?
Oh, I remember you suffered from that.
Yeah, I did suffer dramatically. I was like, well, there goes my fantasy football league. See ya. I'm done with this league. See ya. Goodbye.
Yeah, that totally soured fantasy football there for you.
And yeah, I haven't played fantasy football since, and I never will.
All right, now going to the Baltimore Ravens, not so much Joe Flacco, because we'll learn more about him and his physical capabilities at the age of 31 after this week three preseason game against the Lions. But looking at the backup quarterback situation with Ryan Mallett and Josh Johnson, I hate to say this, but considering the fact that he is new to the team, I think Josh Johnson has been playing a lot better than Ryan Mallett. And heaven forbid Joe Flacco goes down with an injury, for some reason, I feel like Josh Johnson gives you the best chance to win, aside from Ryan Mallett. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, either way, we're talking about backup quarterbacks here.
Of course.
You're hoping that you don't have to use them.
Absolutely. But look at it this way. There have been teams that have suffered injuries to their starting quarterbacks, and they put in backup quarterbacks. For example, the Houston Texans several years ago put in T.J. Yates to be their starter and over Matt Schaub. And then they end up going to the postseason. Of course, they end up losing in the postseason in the first round. But I feel like with Josh Johnson, he gives you more of a playmaking ability. He rushes the ball a lot more, and he's a little bit more accurate this preseason. Now, keep in mind, it's preseason stats. They don't mean a damn thing until you get to NFL week one.
Yeah, just like Bryn Renner, who currently is a free agent. I mean, he was
talking Madden again.
He was lighting the world on fire. No, I'm talking about real life. I knew he was a free agent. I mean, because he lit the world on fire last year preseason. I just kept saying to myself, anybody who thinks they should start Bryn Renner over Joseph Vincent Flacco should, I will punch you in your purple camo.
Now, what are the thoughts on people saying, well, I'll take Tyrod Taylor over Joe Flacco right now? Yeah. Who would have thought we would have said to that now?
Would you, though? Because if you took Tyrod Taylor back then, would he have won you a Super Bowl?
Oh, okay. I will say this. If Tyrod Taylor ends up taking the Bills to the playoffs in this season, then we can have a debate. But until that happens, I still have to stick with Flacco as the controversial Baltimore pick. But another controversial thing going on with Baltimore is the updates regarding former first-round pick from 2015, Breshad Perriman. Of course, Perriman returned to practice this past week, and he even got ribbed a little bit. Terrell Suggs coming up by the microphone stand saying, who's the new guy? Breshad Perriman taking his lickings from the NFL veterans there, you know, ribbing him, of course.
Well, they didn't get a chance to last year, so now they want to get a chance this year, because you know there's always hazing or something like that going on with the rookies.
Do you think a healthy Breshad Perriman can make a difference for this Ravens team?
Anybody can make a difference for this Ravens team if they're healthy and actually decent, because you got Steve Smith and who else?
Kamar Aiken? Maybe.
Mike Wallace?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Ben Watson? Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Orioles. It's kind of like the Orioles rotation right now. Well, not right now since he's hurt, but yeah, Chris Tillman's your big guy, and then there's everybody else. And then you're hoping maybe a Dylan Bundy and a Kevin Gausman can step up and be the guys that you would hope they would be and live up to their potential, because we haven't seen much from them just yet. The other guys, you pretty much know what you're getting at this point, especially with Evaldo Jimenez. But with Breshad Perriman, he could be that Dylan Bundy. He could be that difference maker in the rotation and make yourself relevant again in terms of wide receiver. But there's something else that needs to be addressed here in Baltimore land, and that is the fact that they still have no kick returner.
Yeah, you have Devin Hester going out to the local papers or to the national papers this past week saying, Hey guys, I'm at home right now. I can still return kicks. I was in my backyard returning kicks not too long ago. I can still do it. Wink, wink. Give me a chance. Give Devin Hester a chance.
Oh, good grief. The backyard thing just reminds me of that little bit of a controversy in preseason a couple years ago where Joe Flacco was like not playing in his backyard or playing catch with somebody or I forgot what
was. Practicing in offseason with his receivers.
Yeah,
they don't even know the game plan yet.
I forgot. Football fans are so stupid. So I'm just trying to remember what exactly what that controversy, quote unquote controversy, was.
Yeah, and now another setback that the Ravens are dealing with, of course, is a former first round pick from 2013, Matt Elam. Of course, Matt Elam tore his bicep in the middle of training camp in 2015. And now he's dealing with even more injury bugs in this upcoming NFL season. Is it safe to say that we are approaching the final days? Keep in mind, we're getting close to the 75-man cut, where the Ravens have to cut their roster to 75 active players. Is it safe to say that if Matt Elam makes the final 75, I will be very shocked?
First of all, 75-man cut? That sounds like a barbershop.
That does sound like a barbershop reference there, doesn't it?
Well, anyway, Matt Elam could be very well get Trent Richardson here at some point and be future endeavored.
I mean, when you're looking at the safety play recently from Eric Weddle and Ladarius Webb, who seem to be having a growing chemistry, and not to mention Anthony Levine making a key play in the fourth quarter against the Colts in preseason, saving himself a roster spot, and you have a former first-round pick in Matt Elam who isn't really doing anything at the moment. It is safe to say that if you don't get on the field in preseason and it's been 3+ years for you to prove yourself, coaches are going to have limited patience in you proving yourself before they say, you know what, here's the favorite part of every coach's job, the cuts.
Now, I can't cut all of you. I have cut a lot of you. And yeah, Matt Elam could very well be joining that list and be waiting himself midseason if anybody would be calling up for any injuries or anything that's going to happen. Because you know it's going to happen that a swath of people are going to get injured this year.
And last but not least on the Ravens cut list before the 75-man roster cut is Dennis Pitta, Ravens tight end. Is it safe to say that he could be joining this list because of the broken finger issue?
I don't know about that.
Really?
I don't know if he's going to actually be cut, but it's a log jam at tight end for the Ravens right now.
And plus he carries a lot of cap space too. So you definitely have to find your way around that if you're the Baltimore Ravens organization. I will say this, there could be a situation where if we come to week one of the NFL season and Dennis Pitta isn't anywhere close to questionable, at least questionable, because if he's doubtful, then I highly doubt that he'll be ready by, say, the middle of the NFL season. I honestly think the guy has to take the retirement route. I mean, what other choice do you have at this point?
How long does it take to come back from a broken finger? Like a week or two?
It should take at least 2, maybe 3 weeks max, if that. If you're under NFL specialist, NFL medical care. I mean, sometimes a broken finger can set somebody back 5 or 6 weeks. But, you know, most people aren't pro athletes, and sometimes they don't heal quick. Wink, wink. I don't know what goes on in the medical rooms, but, hey, some strange things have happened. If Dennis Pitta isn't ready by week 3 or week 4 of the NFL season, I do think at this point in his career, he should take the retirement route. You're a 30-plus-year-old tight end. You haven't played a full season in over 2 years. You've had 2 hip surgeries and a broken finger. Yeah, dude, you're up crap's creek without a paddle.